Welcome to day 165 of The Story That Changes Everything. Our readings for today begin our journey through the book of Proverbs. We're reading chapters 1 through 3, and we're adding Psalm 70. Here are some thoughts to guide your reading for today. In the film The Little Mermaid, although Ariel is the daughter of King Triton and has all the undersea world at her fingertips, she longs to be connected to that other world, the world of the land. One of the ways she lives out her desire to be part of human culture is by collecting artifacts from the human world. On the occasions when Ariel discovers something clearly connected to humanity, she takes them to her friend Scuttle, the seagull, for interpretation. Scuttle obviously lives above the sea and has regular contact with the human world, and thus is a worthy resource for naming and explaining the various treasures Ariel has collected. When Ariel brings to him a tobacco pipe she has found, he boldly proclaims that it's a snore flap used for making music and bubbles by blowing into the mouthpiece. When she shows him a fork she's found, he names it a dingle hopper and explains that it's used for styling one's hair like a comb or brush. Later, when she's invited to dinner by the prince, she eagerly seizes the dingle hopper from the table and begins combing her hair with confidence and the flair of someone well-versed in the ways of the human world. Of course, her use of the fork is wrong. It may be cute and charming, but it isn't very wise. The book of Proverbs assumes that there is a design to the universe, a particular way that life ought to be lived. The book assumes what one of my favorite ethicists calls a grain to the universe. That grain of the universe shows up in every aspect of our lives, our resources, our relationships, our communities, our use of speech, and even our inner life. To discover the Creator's design of the universe and then to live according to that grain of the universe is what the writers of Proverbs call wisdom. And although the book of Proverbs comes in six major sections, it has no consistent narrative or even overarching theme. It's a collection of sayings that likely were gathered over several centuries and compiled together into this one book. And although the book explicitly names Solomon at the beginning, and it's likely that some of the Proverbs, if not many, were written by the great king, the various parables certainly derive from many, many authors and various cultural settings and historical moments. In the same way that his father David was viewed as the patron guardian or keeper of the Psalms, and many of the Psalms are dedicated to him, so too Solomon was viewed as the model or keeper of divine wisdom, and thus this book of wisdom sayings is dedicated to him and to the wisdom tradition that he established and embodied. I think it's important to remember, as we begin to read the Proverbs, that we're reading words of wisdom and not promises. As we saw in the book of Job, more often than not, when we live according to God's purposes, good things happen, but when we stray from God's law and purposes, bad things happen. However, that's not always the case. Sometimes, as was the case with Job, bad things happen to really good people. If I could use one example to illustrate my point, one of the best-known Proverbs is in chapter 22, verse 6. It goes like this: "Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it." Now, that's a valid word of wisdom. If we help our children find God's purposes for them, they will hopefully and perhaps even likely live into them. However, we also know that children have their own will and their own freedom. So sometimes parents raise up a child in the way that they should go, and when they get old, they pull a prodigal and walk or maybe even run away from God's purposes. That doesn't make Proverbs 22:6 invalid or untrue. It just means that it's a word of wisdom and not a promise. The first major section of Proverbs takes up chapters 1 through 9. This particular section is dedicated to Solomon, and its purposes are articulated in the first few verses of chapter 1. This section is meant to teach wisdom and discipline and to help one understand wise sayings. It's to make the naive mature or the young knowledgeable and discreet. But it's also to help the already wise or the aged continue to grow in wisdom and understanding. The key theme of Proverbs and the key theme of the entire wisdom tradition, frankly, is stated in verse 7. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The rest of chapter 1 raises the question, what voices are you listening to in your life? Because the primary audience of Proverbs was likely young men in the community, the images in the chapter fit that worldview. On the one hand, there are these young voices of rascally, troublemaking gang members inviting the reader to come and to join them. Those voices hold out the possibility of gaining wealth and living with excitement, but don't be fooled. Their way is the path of destruction. On the other hand, wisdom calls out to the reader, inviting them to follow her. And if they will listen to her and follow her, she will pour out wisdom upon them and reveal the way of life to them. But if they reject her voice and advice, all kinds of harm and destruction will follow. Chapter 2 continues this invitation from wisdom by further personifying her as a woman inviting the reader to fall in love with her. Notice that wisdom is not only inviting the reader to come and receive blessings from her for their life, but wisdom's also warning the reader not to fall for the mysterious and foreign woman. It may be that the writer has in mind the lure of a physically adulterous relationship. However, given how often wisdom and folly are both personified as women in the text, this woman, this foreign woman, may also be symbolic of the lure of idolatrous living and thinking. Chapter 3 contains one of the most loved sayings in Proverbs. Verses 5 and 6 say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." In this great chapter, we're encouraged that if we trust in the Lord and seek wisdom, we will live in health, in joy, and in peace. The ironic thing about these opening chapters on wisdom is that they are focused as much, if not more, on our heart than on our heads. Thinking wise and truthful thoughts is important, but the key question is not, what do you know, but what do you love? Notice as we go along how the writers of Proverbs picture wisdom and also folly as beautiful women inviting the reader to fall in love with them. The goal of this book is not just to know the ways of God, but to learn to love them, to want to embody them, and to treasure them. So as you read these texts today, ask these questions. What do I love? Have I learned to love the ways that lead to brokenness, or am I learning to love the divine ways of wisdom that lead to life? Our brief psalm for today, Psalm 70, prays that God would deliver us, but it also prays that we would learn to love and seek the Lord. It says this, "Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your saving help say again and again, God is great." We will keep learning to love wisdom tomorrow as we continue to read Proverbs. We're reading chapters 4 through 6. I'll talk to you tomorrow.